I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Guitar Nerds, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight, Jay Cross, and Joe Branton.
Ha-ha!
I like that that's becoming
a catchphrase. You always ruin
you
two,
sorry,
the
am
intros.
I supposed to follow it?
Well, because Matt does something, and then I tend to follow it.
It's because Joe's never listening.
No, it's not that.
You're right, you're completely right. It's because Joe isn't listening to anything
listening.
Other than his the weird noises that go on in his brain.
The point of the intro of a podcast is establishing our voices for new listeners. So if you two make identical sounds, people aren't going to be able to discern which one of you is speaking throughout the rest of the podcast.
But they are going to be able to discern which one is you, and so when you start talking, they can go. They know that they can go and get themselves a little drink.
It's wee break. That's when you're going for a little wee break.
That's the only reason I'm here, isn't it?
Here we are, second week of January. Gear of the year is over.
Yes!
I can't believe it. We did it.
I can't believe we've done this. If you haven't listened to Gear of the Year 2017, go back and listen to the last five podcasts.
At least listen to the last one.
Yeah, the last one.
Because there will be spoilers.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was flicking through some of the podcasts over the last couple of days, and it seemed to be no matter where I sort of randomly selected a bit of audio, it was Jay Cross complaining about something that we just said. Like, I think this might have been your worst one for, like, complaining, Jay.
There is definitely an argument to say it's the most argumentative, because wherever you land, like you say, if you just scrub through the podcast, wherever you land, someone will be arguing about something. Because I think it was the most passionate one. I think the things that we were really into, each of us, I think we all put forward compelling arguments.
I think we're passionate people.
Yeah, mine got shut down every time.
I don't think that's true.
Getting your Brenner Sound Pulse?
Yeah, when are you getting your wearable metronome?
Mine should be turning up this week.
Oh, you did actually order one, didn't you? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that'll be here soon.
Yeah, good. I'm excited to see it. Can that be our first video demo of 2018?
To be honest, I was thinking about just keeping it back until Jay's birthday.
Yes.
can we try and, like, turn the vibrate up to maximum and then, like, 600 BPM and just...
Where
are you going with this?
I'm glad this is audio only, because the face Matt just pulled was very disturbing. We can test it out, test its limits, the Brenner Sound Pulse. So, we're in a bit of a funny position because Gear of the Year was late this year, so that's taken up basically the first part of this month. We've got this podcast now, and then I think next week's is going to be the first NAMM podcast.
We're jetting off to NAMM.
We are. So you and Matt are going
to... Anaheim.
To Anaheim. You and Matt are going to be there early, so I suspect...
So am I.
Jay'll be there for Fender.
Proper business stuff.
Listen.
Mr. Businessman.
Listen, some of us have got real jobs.
So Jay is important.
Are you flying with a suit?
No.
Okay, good. Are you flying with your Adidas tracksuit?
I'm flying in a tracksuit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying are you flying in a suit. Are you taking a suit with you?
I hadn't thought about it. I don't think so.
Okay.
Me and Matt are going early so
Matt
that we can get drunk.
Yeah, you guys are going early. I'm going to fly in on Wednesday. So I think the plan is basically for you and Matt, Matt and you, to
drink.
To go, you're doing some factory tours first.
That's right. Oh, we're doing some really good ones.
Can you say what you're doing?
Of course we can. Yeah, okay. So when we get there, we're going out for drinks first. But then on the next day...
going out for drinks?
Yeah, actually, that's true. Okay. The first 2 days. And then on the third day, me, Matt, JD Short, who's a Patreon backer and a podcast listener, and Mary Spender are all going to go to the Music Man Factory, which, as it turns out, I slightly underestimated how far it was away when I sort of booked it, because there's a Music Man shop that's about an hour away from where we're staying,
and that's what you googled.
Yeah, but Music Man factory is 4 hours away.
Okay,
don't worry, because JD Short is going to drive us.
America's really big, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah, it's real.
So
far
yeah
away.
We're going to go there. We're hooking up with Dustin Hines, cool name.
Yep.
Who's the marketing manager for Music Man, and he's going to show us some cool like Ball Family Reserve stuff. He's actually going to show us all the stuff that that they're announcing at NAMM ahead of it, which is totally cool. And
whoa,
we get
a whole
to
day.
Do, yeah, and yeah, and we get
Scoops.
To do a factory tour, which is going to be totally cool.
That
so
is
we're going
cool.
yeah. to film that, that cool. and we're going to pop that up on the Nerds YouTube. And you know, listeners, I'm going to really need you with this one, because Mary Spender will also be filming the factory tour.
But they need to watch ours.
Watch our one, not her one.
So you can't get too drunk, because we've got to get the video out straight away.
Yeah,
basically.
I know, exactly.
Personally, I think it would be better if you filmed and Matt was the host.
That is the way round we're doing it. I
excellent.
Think.
Yeah.
So I think the plan is to try and do a podcast every day. So at the end of your factory tour,
yeah,
you guys are going to record something about what you've seen, or yeah. maybe we floated the idea of recording something as you drive down there. You've got 4 hours.
We're going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, all you're going to be doing is probably listening to some rubbish music.
Pulling over in bars.
Exactly, yeah, and taking in, imbibing in some local vibes. So it'd be good if you
that
could...
That would be great.
Basically, we want to put something out every day. So yeah. first 2 days, so you're doing
that's
Music
yeah,
Man.
That's, yeah, Music Man. And then the next day is going to be even cooler, because we're getting back, and then we're going to Calabasas.
That's where the Kardashians live.
Oh, that's nice. It's also where the Yamaha Artist Center is, and okay. And some other stuff. Yamaha and Line 6. So courtesy of Erin from Yamaha Europe, who you and I know, Mark.
Yep.
She's sorting us out, going to see that place and checking out all the new stuff from Yamaha and Line 6, which I have heard some rumors about what it is, and I'm really excited.
I've
about
not heard any rumors. We'll talk about this off pod.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's all going to be totally rad. So we're going to go check out all of that stuff. And then we're going to go out and party in the evening.
That sounds good.
Erin was saying that Yamaha have hired a whole, like, Airbnb.
A hole? They're going to put you in a hole? I mean, that's. I think you're going to be able to drink yourself into a hole, Joe Branson.
They've hired a whole house that's going to be a party house.
Wow.
So I'm going to see if I can get the address of that and then post it on our...
so everyone can turn up.
Yes.
Yeah, good work. Excellent. You're really doing them a solid. Mm. So you're going to try and record a podcast that evening
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's right. A podcast, and we'll shoot some video footage of all the stuff. I guess we won't be able to upload that yet, because it's still like 2 days before NAMM starts. So we'll have to wait a little bit. But yeah, we'll certainly do a podcast and talk about some stuff. So
I mean, if you thought by subscribing to this podcast you were going to be content starved in January, I think you've probably made a mistake, because Gear of the Year was probably, 8 hours? Something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, across, something like that. Maybe more. Yeah,
maybe longer. Maybe 8.5 hours across the 5 days.
We were here for 11 hours. We were podding for 11.
And then Gear of the Year. NAMM is potentially going to be 2 on the first day. Then, yeah. 2 on the first 2 days that you're there. And then Wednesday, are you doing something on Wednesday?
So on Wednesday, we are... There's some more preview events. I believe we're hooking up with you, Jay, on the Wednesday.
Jay's okay. stony-faced. He doesn't know about
this. You know about that? There's like a big Fender thing.
Yeah, I know
on.
About that.
Oh, yeah, fine. Yeah, we're doing that.
Jay's not going to be there.
But it's still
I'm
like
going to be there.
Yeah.
The custom shop event.
Yeah, the custom
and
shop
And on
event.
The Tuesday, we're doing the factory tour.
Oh, yeah, some people are.
This is going to be a problem, because on the podcasts, if they're going out on the day that you record them, you're not actually going to be able to talk about any of the new stuff.
I know, because the new stuff... We'll see. We might make them a couple of days later. Or maybe we'll just leak stuff. You know, I mean, leaking seems to be quite popular.
Well, yeah, we should not go into that. And then Thursday, the show actually kicks off. I'll be there then, so, you know, there'll be actually an adult in charge of the things that are going on.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hey. Indeed. And then we're going to do the NAMM podcast proper. So we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday...
Yeah.
To do some podding.
Saturday night's going to be the best one.
Going to the Pedal Builders event.
Pedal Builders Summit.
Yes. So
it's going to be bowling and pizza.
Yeah. All the cool people builders. That you know from probably podcasts and, you know, forums and stuff like
Jamie
that.
Jamie Stillman from Earthquaker Devices is going to be there.
Yep.
I'm going to try and hug him.
I saw, I was looking through the events listing at NAMM, and Jamie Stillman is doing a talk at one point. So,
is he?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Well, he's one of the main organisers behind the Pedal Builders Summit as well.
I'm sure every year there's like a pedal builders panel in association with NAMM, and there's like 12 boutique pedal builders, and they all do like a Q&A session, but I don't know where it is.
Yeah,
but like it's definitely happening, because they always upload the whole thing to YouTube normally.
Yeah. So so that basically is our plan. Jay, Joe is trying to arrange a drink off with the guys from 60 Cycle Hum.
That's from who?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, some, I don't know.
Someone said it's a podcast.
Who knows? I don't know. I assume it doesn't make it out of Middle America. But the yeah, there is. You know, gauntlets have been laid down, and myself and Steve are going to be. Steve from 60 Cycle.
You know, Steve's a really big man.
I know. Like I think.
And you are a very small child.
Yes, but
are you old enough to drink in the US?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
The thing is,
I'm really old. I'm 33.
What I'm worried about is that this proposed drink off is supposedly going to be happening on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the Pedal Builders event is on Saturday evening. And I feel that, you know, these people that we've talked to on podcasts and who've, you know, supported the podcast and have been quite active in the forum and stuff
absolutely want to see Joe completely obliterated.
I think they don't know what they want, is what I'm my thing saying.
But the thing is, I am going to win. I am going to win.
Okay.
I'm going to win.
It will be filmed. I assume it will be filmed. So
it will be filmed. It'll be fine. We were going to play something. It's called like Century 21 or something
you
like
drink
that.
100 shots of beers.
Yeah, it's a bit like Centurion where you drink 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes and then you do a shot of whatever sort of vodka, whiskey, gin. It doesn't matter to me.
You drink a whiskey drink.
You drink a cider drink.
You drink a cider drink. Drink. No, I've done it wrong.
Drink. We've messed it up. Anyway, so what I wanted to say was,
sing the songs that remind you of the good times,
and then sing the songs that remind you of the old times.
It's not the old times.
Da 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 da. Bucket.
I don't know what song that is.
That's not Chumbawamba.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say is there's going to be loads of content coming your way. Podcast content, there's going to be video content, there'll be stuff going up on Facebook, Instagram as well. And then I'm not really sure what happens when NAMM finishes, because when do you guys get back? You have no idea.
Tuesday.
You get back on Tuesday.
Really? That late?
I'm leaving on the Monday.
On the Monday.
So there might not...
Matt, if you want to get the flight with me that I've booked for you, I suggest you leave on the Monday.
No, we leave on the Monday, Tuesday. We arrive on the Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. So
overnight flight.
There basically might not be a podcast next week, but because there'll be... Or the week after, because there'll be so much over NAMM and you guys flying, and I'm going on holiday in America after
NAMM. When are you
NAMM
back?
The next Tuesday. So you're going to have to work out how to do a podcast without me in the meantime.
Okay.
Which is fine. I'm sure you'll get your head around
it. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Anyway, so yeah, loads of NAMM content coming your way. But because it is NAMM on the horizon, it means that there's already plenty of pre-release
news. I looked at you then genuinely not knowing why you were pointing at me.
We've only done this for 147 episodes.
The look of sheer terror on Joe's face there. I'm so sorry that listeners couldn't see it. It was fantastic.
Do you know what else I was thinking? Because this is, I think this is episode 147. It might be 148. The quiz is going to have to be postponed because we're not going to do a quiz at NAMM. Maybe we could do a quiz
at
NAMM.
Whose go is it?
I don't remember, but... But hang fire.
Write the last one. No, did I win the last one?
I wrote the last one. You guys let me host one because I've never won one.
Exactly, yeah.
Hang did fire. I win it? Maybe I need to do the
what
quiz.
If, at NAMM, quiz teams from rival podcasts...
Oh my God, are we talking Tone Mob versus...
60 Cycle Hum versus Guitar
us.
Nerds. This and could actually happen. Oh.
But who's going to write it?
Well, I'll write it and I'll be impartial to the quiz.
Oh, this, I think
can,
this, we,
can I not have Joe on my team?
Yeah sure.
Joe's, can I be on 60 Cycle Hum's team?
Anyway, that might happen. That's literally, you're hearing the brainstorming happening right now.
We're going to be on another podcast at NAMM as well, aren't we?
Are we?
The new Line 6 have got their own podcast. It's really good.
Yeah, Line 6 are doing their own podcast.
And it's great, yeah. So we're going to...
Wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly. Anyway, because it is NAMM next week, as I said, there's plenty of pre-release news coming up. I think that's all we're going to have time for in this episode. No questions or anything this week, because there is an abundance of news. First up, Ibanez have announced, like, hundreds and hundreds of new guitars for 2018.
I think it is 70... eight guitars or something.
I don't think it's
big
that
old
range.
No, it is.
It's a big old range. And...
Because it... Well, guitars and basses.
And a pedal. And a very interesting pedal.
We can talk about the pedal later. Let's separate that out. I want to do the guitars first. So, Joe, you've been doing quite a lot of this on with GAC because you've got quite a lot listed.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So, well, there are... So loads of things have been announced, but I think the most exciting, the real sort of the gem from the Ibanez range, because Ibanez do this thing every year, they do announce about 50 new guitars, and in my experience, they announce 50, make 20, and distribute to shops about 10.
Yeah,
like it's so dumb. Like, well, the way they do it is so dumb.
The way it works,
there's always great stuff, but they just. They don't actually make the stuff that they say they're making.
Well, in my experience, what happens is at events like NAMM, they have like one of each of these things that they put in this, you know, this announcement. And then if enough dealers go, yeah, they're cool, we'll take a few of those, then they go into production. Yeah. So a lot of the things that are in the announcement will be at NAMM. Whether they ever actually make it to guitar stores, I'm not sure that is the case. But do you wanna, should we go through some of the highlights?
Yeah. So I mean, the main highlight for me is that 7-string half fretted half fretless bass is actually now being put into production.
Oh. I thought it was in production anyway.
Well, it was sort of available as like a limited edition thing, but it's like a standard line now. Anyway, okay. that aside, so the most excited thing, the most exciting thing is the new AZ series from Ibanez. So the AZ series are kind of, this series is perfect for the market at the moment, because the way Ibanez have been moving with a lot of sported tops and kind of blue to green bursts and kind of strange cutaways, they've been moving into multi-scale, they've been using like weird poplar tops and stuff. It's a really, really specific sort of person that would play that. I love those guitars. They're great. But I understand why we don't talk about them on the podcast when we're a little bit more traditionally focused. Ibanez are obviously not going to make a completely traditional solid body. So they've introduced the AZ series, which I think is the perfect crossbreed of modern and traditional. And it seems to, it seems to be one of those guitars that ticks everyone's box. It kind of, it looks a lot like a Sur. It's a super strat style solid body. They do some hardtail and some Floyd Rose versions, double humbucker with these lovely like baked maple necks. Really nice, kind of maybe a new headstock shape for Ibanez, slightly, I think.
I'm not sure. It's the Roadster. I'm sure it's the Roadster shape from the 80s.
Potentially.
The same.
Potentially. I think you're right on the headstock. I think the body is a little more generic than that, because the Roadsters had like slightly more rounded horns to them, whereas this is much more stratty, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they've been like, they've been knocking around for a bit, and it's funny to see the sort of players that are picking them up, because it's said that the one of the guitarists from Chon has been playing a prototype of that for a little while. But
sure, I know who that is.
Yeah, do you?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay, yeah, they're good. I mean,
they're a great band.
They're a great band. They're not really my sort of thing. They're that area of technical math that is slightly more jazz influenced, so maybe falls into that fusion category a bit more. But I think what really what summarizes the AZ series very well is that they are releasing a TQM1, the Tom Quail signature model AZ series. Tom Quail, who of course came on the podcast, and I went to GitCon with him, so and he had this in the pipeline back then, but was like unable to talk about exactly what it was, and we were quizzing him about what brands had possibly approached him, and you know, he had a little bit of a, when we mentioned Ibanez, he was a little bit like
okay,
but you know, we couldn't speak about it. Anyway, The great thing about these guitars is that they seem to be an absolute player's guitar. Unlike the rest of Ibanez's range, which tends to be a little bit bling focused, this is an absolute player's guitar. If you're into Sur, if you're into
it looks like the Guthrie signature, basically.
Yes, exactly that sort of thing. So I think kind of check those instruments out as an absolute priority, because I think they're the real jewel in the Ibanez 2018 series.
I like the RG DIM 6 FM, which is the 6-string fan fret with the 3-a-side headstock, because it's got the Fishman Fluence pickups.
That's right, those Fishman Fluence pickups in as like a, yeah, exactly, out of the box is great. And if you've never seen Fishman Fluence pickups, they look absolutely crazy.
They're going into everything at the moment, aren't
they? I know, isn't it weird?
Well, I think this is the first production guitar with them fitted. I think lots of people are putting them in their guitars, but I think this is the first one that's had it fitted.
I've seen a lot over the last few weeks. I think because as well as this, we haven't got it in the news, but Schecter have announced 20 new guitars or something.
They announced them a couple of months ago, but it's only because NAMM's coming around right, that people are starting to talk about them.
Well, so I'm sure I read that a couple of those have got the Fluence in as well. But some of the stuff that Ibanez have announced, so I'm just on the press release now, there was 54 guitars I think were released, and I mean there is something for everyone there's RGs, there's gems,
there's some great
fret ones, there's a fan fret 8 string. The one for me that stands out by a million miles is the new FRM whatever the fireman is, the FRM
Paul, the Paul Gilbert
FRM 200. It looks fantastic. It's just under a grand mini.
Oh, is this the mini one? Isn't
mini
it?
Humbuckers. Is this... I think it is slightly smaller.
Oh no, it's 24-inch scale. 24. But it's got the mini humbuckers, which is called the PG-13s, which I thought was absolutely
great. Great name. But yeah, I think they look cool. There's a bunch of like jazz boxes, which Ibanez
fantastic
do.
Jazz boxes.
There's a Talman.
One of the jazz boxes they've released is kind of a Les Paul like size body, but hollow, and which looks absolutely crazy. And they do like they've introduced this lovely like version of Pelham Blue, kind of across quite a few of the ranges. That's really tasteful as well.
Nice. Oh yeah, they've got kind of. I'm just looking at it now, like a Dave Grohl style.
I mean, I'm sure that's exactly why they've done it.
Yeah, you know?
But yeah, there's some great looking guitars there, and such a mix. But I mean, I can't understand. How the logistics of putting out this many guitars at one point, it's just crazy. You know, there's over 50 guitars and nearly 30 basses. That's a crazy number of guitars to come out at once.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, exciting times.
I guess it's what we expect from Ibanez every year. Sure. They basically discontinue everything and they release a whole load of new stuff. What we're talking about, Ibanez, should we actually talk about the brand new pedal, which has kind of set the internet alight? I forget what it's actually called now. Oh, the Ibanez NTS Tube Screamer Overdrive. So featuring the Korg New Tube technology.
Yeah, so the new tubes we've seen in those, little, I can't remember what they were called,
the A Thomas 50s? Bluck?
No. The new tubes appeared in the little Vox amps. Those little Vox
the
things.
The MX series?
Yeah, maybe.
MV50,
that was it. Yeah. That's an interesting concept, the idea. I mean, we saw Vox do this before. Do you remember they did that really weird range of effects pedals that were called things like the Trike?
Yeah,
and I can't remember. There was a bus one, I think.
Yeah, the double decker.
Double decker.
Well, the double decker used Bucket Brigade chips.
Yeah, it didn't actually have a valve in it, despite it being in the same house.
I don't think they had the new tubes in though.
They didn't have the new tubes.
They had actual valves in.
No. You're right. New tube is a tech that they've developed.
Was the new tube in those Thomas Blug?
No,
it's
solid state.
Yeah, it's only been in the Korg products. So that
it's been around for ages. We've talked about it for a couple of years, but this is the first thing that they've actually licensed out for someone to use it.
Yeah,
a couple of the demo videos have kind of hit the web, and it doesn't really sound anything like a traditional tube screamer. So I think they've actually tried to do something with it.
Yeah,
but it's quite cool because it basically means that they're so low power draw that you can power them via standard 9 volts. You don't need like a 24 volt supply or something ridiculous.
Interesting, because I've been doing a bit of reading about this. So they've Korg have developed it. Korg, I think they share a distributor with Ibanez in the US, which is why you often see crossovers.
Right, okay.
Which is why you saw things like the Chaos Pad in the Ibanez guitars, that sort of thing. So I think that's why Ibanez have got it. But interestingly, you can also buy the new tubes
separately.
Yeah. And people have been, I've been reading about it because of a headphone thing, and people are basically building their own headphone amps with new tube technology.
Oh really? Well, it sounds good.
Apparently so. There's a load of home builds, but actually in the I think it may be coming out, or it may have just come out, Korg have built a headphone amp with the new tube, because so many people have been using it in the kind of homebrew world they're bringing out, or they've brought out a headphone amp that uses the technology. It's pretty neat, kind of cool to see it being used across the board.
Completely.
I need to do some more reading about how that technology actually works.
Yeah. They've basically just replicated how a tube performs, but they've scaled it down to this tiny sort of like PCB-based component. It's really interesting. It's cool to see it in loads of different stuff.
It is worth pointing out on the new tube screamer, though, it is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It is tons of money.
It's 240 quid. But one thing that is on there that I haven't seen a huge amount of people making a big song and dance of, they have included a blend control, which I think is very cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, the clean to drive mix. What a great thing to have on. I know you said that, well, Matt said that it doesn't sound much like a tube screamer, but that sounds like the exact thing that you'd want on a tube screamer style pedal.
Completely. I think it's really neat.
The actual tone of it from the videos I've seen don't sound like an 808, but I think they're trying to do something different with it.
Yeah. Definitely. Talk about someone doing something different. Gibson won't be attending NAMM this year.
Oh, we knew that ages ago. Or we was did. It just I that knew?
Well, what no, I was no, going to yeah. suggest, or what I was going to say is they're not attending NAMM, but they are or have attended CES, the conference in Las Vegas.
CES,
indeed. For leagues. Consumer electronics. Gibson, obviously, we won't go into this now, but positioning themselves more recently as a kind of consumer electronics brand, have foregone NAMM, which for them I actually think is not the worst decision in the world. I think it's quite a good decision. And going to CES, because obviously they own a load of consumer electronic brands, and I guess they feel that the wider press has better coverage of CES than it does NAMM. But they had a load of new guitars there. A lot of it... they haven't really made a song and dance about, because I think a lot of it's kind of custom shop and one-offs and things like that. But one guitar that has kind of caught people's imagination is the new Modern Flying V. From what we understand, it's a custom shop guitar. There's been no spec leaked about it yet or written about, but Gibson did share a video on their Facebook page. So, J. Cross, how would you describe the body shape of the Modern Flying V?
Thank you for passing this one over to me.
You're exactly the man to do this.
I've got the perfect one. I've got the perfect way to describe exactly what it looks like.
I think Jay does as well, and I think Jay might be the man to deliver it.
It looks like the Starfleet logo. It looks exactly... I'm sure Matt was going to say something guitar-related.
What were you going to say, Matt? Because
I was going to say the Jackson Roswell.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say the Jackson Roswell.
I mean,
it does look like the Jackson
Roswell. It looks exactly like the Starfleet logo.
Yes, it does.
So weird.
No, that's cool.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not cool. I'm saying it's weird that it looks exactly like the Starfleet logo. You know, the top horn is a little bit longer than the bottom horn.
I wish they'd got Patrick Stewart in for this.
I mean, that would have been fantastic.
If they'd have done that, they would literally sell them like that.
I mean, they're going to sell them like most anyway.
Yeah.
They got Christopher Lloyd in for a Back to the Future tie-in a couple of years ago.
With the 335.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have surprised me if, Jean-Luc had turned up and was holding a couple of these.
There's a website stating they're going to be $4,500.
That's reasonable.
What it does, though, is it brings them into line. It brings it into line with the other... sort of standard custom shop models. You know, it's that same as the Les Pauls and the SGs and the RDs and the Flying Vs and the Explorers and everything else that they announced earlier this year.
I just think...
No, don't. If you're going to just think anything, it better not be a naysay.
Why didn't they do this at, like, £1,000?
But we've said that about the last few models.
But do you remember?
Gibson guitars are worth £4,500.
Do you remember Guitar of the Week? When Gibson were doing a new mad guitar every week for a year, it was such good fun. This would be a perfect guitar for that. And all those guitars were like $1,000. And it was just fun, because Gibson were obviously letting their hair down, letting their designers do what they want. They clearly weren't taking themselves too seriously, because it was like when you got the Holy V, which was like a totally hollowed out, like cheese, Swiss cheese flying V that was fun.
Reverse V. Do you see one of those has been doing the rounds this week?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, there's a reverse V in a shop somewhere.
They could have just done that. I just think this guitar is going to come out. They're probably, you know, it's not. They're not obviously going to sell them in mass numbers because of the price, and they're probably not aiming to. Well, they're obviously not aiming to. This would have been a cool thing to just have, you know, on store shelves. I think the likelihood of you ever seeing one in the wild now is like very, very small, because what shops are going to stock them? Really?
Maybe, but I think one thing that is worth bearing in mind is we said that about the Modern Double Cuts when they first were announced, because they were. they were just a custom shop model, weren't they? And yeah. this week they've announced, also at CES, they've announced some semi-hollow modern double cuts, which I don't think are custom shop.
No, I think they are as well.
Are
actually.
They?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But my question is, are these ever going to make it to a guitar shop? Because
I think so.
I don't know. I think if
I'd
only
buy
we,
one.
I mean,
I don't.
I think shops, big shops that do Gibson, I think would be missing a trick if they didn't get one of these in.
You think they're going to get? Yeah. Not the modern double cuts, because I see that as more viable. The Star Trek guitar,
the modern V.
With a Jean-Luc cutout,
£4,500.
I tell you what,
that's the same
if they
price
go
as
to GAC, if they go to GAC, I will purchase a Jean-Luc cutout, and I will have the guitar placed around him and put on a stand. I promise, if they make it, I will do that.
I just think both of these guitars, actually, it would have been a lot of fun if they'd done £1,000 versions of them, or whatever they need to be. If they need to be £2,000, just putting them at that price point, obviously it drums up a lot of publicity, it keeps people talking about Gibson. But realistically, is anyone you know ever going to own one of these guitars? Probably not. Whereas,
I mean, Joe Branton might buy one.
I mean, anyone.
It's not out of the realms of possibility.
Anyone you know who is a real person.
Okay, fair enough. Probably not.
Are they going to buy one? Whereas, you know, I know people who own those, like, Guitar of the Week Gibsons. And they're just a cool talking point. They're a cool thing to have. I honestly think Gibson have missed the trick. Because, do you know what? I don't even mind the shape. I think it's quite cool. But at £4,500, I just.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and they're obviously within their rights to charge that, and, you know, there probably is an audience for them, a very small audience at that price. But wouldn't it have been cooler if they'd gone, tell you what, this year we're reinvigorating Guitar of the Week or Guitar of the Month or whatever, and we're just trying some stuff out, and they're all going to be between £1,000 and £2,000. That would have been cool. That's what I want to see from Gibson.
I think that's the thing, that they kind of need to do something like that, because when you've got one of the most, well... Yeah, one of the most iconic guitar, or two of the most iconic guitar shapes. Like, everyone's going to keep wanting those. So what do you do to, like, bring in new business for someone who's already got both of those guitar shapes?
Sure, sure.
You've got to do, and I think that's the same, like you're saying, it's that talking point, and just, like, maybe they're kind of trying to do that, but just get people to share it loads, so people start thinking about Gibson and go, oh, maybe I will buy another Gibson, well, but not actually buy this one. I don't know.
Maybe one will come out. Maybe they'll do a lower price point one. Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, some cool stuff from Gibson. The details are very scarce at the moment. Whether we'll actually see any of these in the flesh ever, I have my doubts. But if Joe Branton has his way, maybe we'll have one in this very room. We will have to see. Talking of Gibson, also some news from Epiphone, not from CES, but these were released just into the mainstream consciousness. Epiphone Anaconda Burst / Les Paul Standard Plus Top Pro.
Doesn't even come with a top hat.
Unbelievable. Doesn't
Where's
even come with a
Where's
top hat.
Where's my top hat?
Joe Branton, you've been doing a bit of writing about these, I believe.
Yes.
What's the deal?
Well, so these are essentially a green burst Les Paul.
Sorry, it's Anaconda Burst.
Oh yeah, whatever. So it's a rather ugly green burst Les Paul with the.
I thought this would be right up your street.
No. Les Pauls, for a start, should have chrome pickups. I hate those, like, open sort of Fendery looking pickups on a Gibson. So that and the green burst. I love green burst on Burns, but on a Les Paul it looks just cheap and nasty. So this guitar came in, and my managing directors were like, you've got to promote this new Slash guitar, it's going to be really popular. And I was like, whatever. And I'll be honest, I've been drinking a lot at work recently, and when I first checked this, I thought I just had too many, but we sold out of all of them in a day.
Well, the thing is I know when we had a chat when it first came out, and everyone was like, oh, it's really expensive, and I didn't really have the time to look at it, but now I'm looking at the spec, I'm like, okay, so spec wise, not. I can't see where the price is justified, but I didn't realise they're only limited to 100, and yeah. They're all hand signed.
Yeah,
so and actually, you get a hard case.
For $899,
and a strap. You get a studded strap.
I thought there were two tiers. I thought there was one that wasn't signed and one that was signed.
That's correct.
Okay, Jay. Yeah, the signed one's $1,199. So I've just seen that, but I think that's going to be a £2,000 guitar almost instantly.
I think probably it would do. And these are obviously being bought by Slash collectors. I don't think anyone's walking into the store and being like, I want to buy an Epiphone Les Paul Standard. I'll take that one. Because, you know, they're about, what, 450 quid more than just a regular standard? Or 400?
Yeah, over Les Paul, double the price. Yeah.
Plus top.
So I think it's... They've aimed at...
They're exactly £400 more.
Yeah, they've aimed at exactly the right market, haven't they? You know, Slash collectors. And we've seen from previous Epiphone Slash models, the kind of fervor when they come out for people to buy them. When we had those initial ones, Matt, we had such difficulty keeping them in stock because people
almost impossible.
Yeah. People just love collecting Slash stuff.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer, really. Do 100 at £11.99, like... People will buy those and they will go up for sale for double money.
Doesn't make it a good guitar.
Well, I mean, it's
just interesting. It's just one of those things. They can do anything. It's like, I guess maybe you could probably do that with a Joe Bonamassa one, but he's not done anything like that. But I think Slash is one of those people. It's like, no matter what he brings out, someone will buy it. If it's signed by him, it's going to be worth more money. It's a clever talking point, really, I think.
I legitimately think he's one of the only people still where this works. Like, I mean, in a worldwide market, I think, for example, if there was a Joe Satriani guitar that was limited to 100, that was vaguely affordable, I think maybe in, like, Japan that would sell out really quickly. Yeah. I think Slash is one of the last
that
kind
is
of
a really interesting
worldwide
point.
Guitar icons.
Where he's not even someone I think of as a guitar icon anymore, just because, well, because I guess he doesn't really do anything.
I just think he
was never a good guitarist in the first place.
I would debate that.
I don't think, not really. I mean, not in comparison. He's not.
He only played
there.
In 4/4, Mark.
Yeah, that's what I like.
No, I mean, he only played in 4/4.
I like that fact.
He only played Les Paul's, Mark.
But you know, he's no Jimmy Page.
He's no Omar Rodriguez Lopez, Mark. He's no Tom Quayle, Mark.
But do you know what I mean? I think more than anyone out of all the kind of like classic guitar icons, you mentioned Jimmy Page, I think Slash has got the most cross-generational appeal. I think
I agree.
Kids love him.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kids don't like Slash.
Yeah, 100%.
What are you talking
kids
about?
Love
kids
Slash.
Like Hendrix?
No, well, maybe. No.
Hendrix has got
kids love Slash.
I think they don't. I think Slash is more popular with teenagers than Jimi Hendrix.
You're
is.
Kidding. You've got to be kidding.
I also think
surely
of people
going
who
to
are
a guitar
still
shop of a weekend and look her. At who look at the t-shirts going around. You will see Iron Maiden t-shirts, and I don't think any one of the Iron Maiden guitar players is like the big fella. It's what's his name, the bass player,
Steve Harris, if anything.
But it's Iron Maiden t-shirts. It's Metallica t-shirts. And it's Guns N' Roses t-shirts.
Yeah, but only because they sell them in Topshop, not because people listen to them.
If that's your gateway into that sort of music, then fine. Where would you rather people buy a Guns N' Roses t-shirt? Would you rather they buy a 30 quid t-shirt at the show? Yeah. At the 50 quid show? I mean, I don't see that. I don't really get the issue with people buying band t-shirts.
No, it's fine. I don't really mind that. It was more that I'm not sure those people listen to the bands. I'm surprised that Slash is considered like that.
Can you think of anyone else?
Well, just I tell you what, if I was ever going to do a top 10 or maybe even top 20 like classic guitarists, I probably
Slash
wouldn't
should be
even
number one.
Think of Slash
or maybe Hendrix. Hendrix and then Slash.
Well, you'd think of Hendrix and Page. You know,
Jimmy Page is nowhere near as cool as Slash.
What?
Jimmy
Page is the coolest. He's also the best.
I understand what both of you are saying. Probably not to us. I think probably Jimmy Page is a cooler guitar player.
Jimmy Page is the best.
But think about the cross-generational appeal. I don't think... People might like Led Zeppelin, but I don't think specifically people like Jimmy Page.
Right.
I think people like... Slash.
Let's not talk about Guns N' Roses as if they're an equivalent to Led Zeppelin.
Well, that doesn't matter though. What I'm talking about is
a cheap MTV sort of version
sell more
of
records,
a rock
though.
Band.
Ugh,
yeah. What I'm saying is the appeal of someone who could do exactly this: put out an Epiphone guitar for a grand, sign 100 of them. I can't think of anyone who's better placed.
Does Jimmy Page even he doesn't even have a signature model?
He has had in the past.
He's had some signature Gibsons, which obviously sold out, and they were like £10,000.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is Guns N' Roses are still probably still played on the radio.
Are they?
Sweet Child of Mine, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and they get heavy rotation on all the music channels, which I don't think Led Zeppelin would do. So I think
10 years
more kids
them.
Will grow up with Guns N' Roses naturally than they would Led Zeppelin, I think.
That's horrendous.
I don't think that even Joe Bonamassa's got the kind of cross-generational appeal.
Well, I think he's gone the other way, though.
I tell you who else who might. John Mayer.
No. He's not a guitarist, so it doesn't count.
I'd just like to quickly correct myself in that Led Zeppelin have sold more records than Guns N' Roses.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yes.
Twice as many records.
I mean, they have an entire decade.
I don't think they've sold as many records as Pink Floyd. So, where's all the kids listening to Pink Floyd these days?
According to this reputable website I'm looking at, Wikipedia. Led Zeppelin have sold more records than Pink Floyd, but Pink Floyd are next.
Well, there we go. Who's top? Michael Jackson?
No.
U2?
No.
Scatman John?
Yes, the answer is Scatman John.
He's had the top telling sin album in Japan.
Elton John?
No, he's top five.
Adele?
No.
Madonna.
Coldplay?
No.
Madonna?
No. You need to think closer to home.
Oh, Coldplay.
The Beatles.
Correct.
Oh.
The Beatles. They're still the best.
It's the top,
oh, goddamn
the
love
top,
Cher.
The top few are the Beatles.
She's still hot.
Elvis, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Elton John, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
So proving Beatles that being objectively and subjectively number one
but
is
still a
possible.
But they're still a pop band. Whereas Led Zeppelin, I guess, are the first rock band in that list.
Phil Collins?
Yeah, that definitely doesn't count.
Anyway, talking about cool stuff, Guild have announced some brand
new... That was the worst segue ever.
Well, we're talking about cool stuff, and then
we're talking
about some more cool stuff.
Phil Collins, that's not cool stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That drum beat, the one that goes... Do, 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 do,
da, 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 da.
So, Guild have announced some brand new models at just before NAMM. Joe Branton, you've done the research. Tell us about them.
Oh, my goodness. So, Guild might have released the coolest guitars that are ever going to come out, ever. So, I'm most excited about the Jetstar. I love guitars with big headstocks, and the Jetstar's headstock might be bigger than the body of the guitar itself.
It's sort of like a Firebird headstock if it was a bit larger.
Yeah, exactly. And the Firebird headstock is the coolest headstock. So the great thing about, I'm really into these sort of, this is kind of coming back to me getting really into Fidelity guitars recently and all those kind of like Italian 60s inspired guitars. Guild have really gone down this route with this sort of double cut, solid body, 60s inspired great colors. They're doing it in like a surfy, a sort of Daphne blue.
I'd say it's surf green.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't tell the difference between blues and greens. I'm recently discovering that. A really nice sort of off-white and a black. The white and the black with tortoiseshell scratch plates. These guitars look absolutely cracking. Go and check them out.
Amazing.
Like, really just simple double humbucker. sort of hardtail 60s-inspired guitars, well, but they look absolutely cracking. I mean, they're
it's a reissue of a 60s guitar, the Jetstar. So, yeah, they've tried to reissue them quite a few times in the past, and they came out under the D'Armond name at one point, and... I think there was even when Fender...
There was a Jetstar bass, I recall.
There's been that. Jetstar basses, but I think even when Fender owned them, there may have even been a Squire headstock version. Wow. There definitely was of the... I forget the name of it. Jay, the D'Armond guitar that you've got, can you remember what it's called? He can't remember.
Yeah, Les Paul.
It looks like a Les Paul. When it came out under... When Fender owned it, they produced a version of that called the Squire M88.
Right. I remember the M88.
And I've got a feeling there was also a Jetstar version as well.
So, speaking of guitars slightly more Gibson-inspired, the one that I'm actually most excited about in the Guild range is the Starfire.
Also a reissue.
Yes, absolutely. So, this is a super skinny, sort of 175 meets... Les Pauly sort of hollow body,
but it's kind of like a 125 T thin.
Yeah, it's got that kind of Florentine cutaway, the kind of pointy cutaway.
Yeah, no plate, like Gretsch style pickups. And this, it looks absolutely cracking. It might be the most gorgeous guitar. Well, it is the best guitar I've seen so far this year.
I have got a good story about Starfires.
Go on then.
So about 5 years ago, maybe a bit longer than that. In fact, definitely a bit longer ago than that. The one and only Brian Eno was curating the Brighton Festival. And the Brighton Festival goes on for about a month. And he was in the town and came into the shop quite a lot. And it was great. I had to really hold my nerve a lot. And also, that was at the time when I was... Well, actually, I still am. But I just started getting into his music. And we were listening to it a lot in the shop. And there was this, obviously, this period where we just couldn't listen to him. Because we didn't want him walking in.
He was around.
But anyway, he came in the shop one day. And he was asking about... just about... He was there a little bit late. And we were just chatting. And he said, do you ever get any Guild Starfires in? And I went, no, I don't think so. And I didn't really know a huge amount about him. I did some Googling and he was like, yeah, I used to play one back in the 70s. I really liked it. And I went, no, I don't know. And I went, oh, it looks like Pete Shelley had a signature model. And then Brian Eno said something very rude about Pete Shelley.
Really?
It was all in jest, but he was like, oh, Pete Shelley just copied me. And I was like, oh, that's... mental to think that Pete Shelley copied Brian Eno.
Wouldn't it just be good to just hang out with Brian Eno for a day?
He was so cool.
I don't even really like his solo music, but I'd like to hang out with him for a day.
One other time, and I know I've said this before on the podcast, but he came in and he bought... do you remember there was a really cheap Squire that had an amp built into the body? He bought one of those and a loop pedal, and I just said, like... oh yeah, you're going to plug those into each other and then that's the new record. And he went, maybe.
Jay Cross inspiring Brian Eno.
I sort of said, why are you buying this? And he went, listen, my theory is that everything does one thing better than anything else, and I've never seen anything like this before. So
he's got to have one of everything, basically, to make sure everything's covered.
But that's the story about the Starfire. Brian Eno used to play one, and now... you can be just like Brian Eno.
Well, there we go. Let's jump ahead a little bit, because I want to talk a bit about a new release from our good old friends at Boss. Matt Knight, the Katana Air.
Heard nothing of it. Yeah, nothing.
Come on, then. Spill the beans.
Yeah, this was quite cool because I got to help tune the sound a tiny bit when I was out in Japan and got to refine some bits about it. So, yeah, I've known about it for a little while. Basically, the kind of hassle-free, easy practice at home guitar amplifier to take on the likes of various other small lunchbox practice amplifiers that you might also find in someone's home. Full 30-watt Katana amplifier in a small kind of lunchbox head size, stereo speakers, but with inbuilt wireless system. So a little receiver that plugs, or a little transmitter plugs into the top. You unplug that, plug it straight into your guitar for instant connection. But the one thing that I really liked is it's got an auto standby mode. So you basically, when you've done playing, you can just hang it up on the wall or put it on the stand, and it'll actually put the transmitter and the amplifier into standby. So you don't have to turn the amp off or anything. And then as soon as you pick up the guitar, there's a little sensor in the transmitter, and then the amp just wakes back up and you can start playing again. But the main thing is it's completely wireless, so battery powered or mains, but you can run it battery powered, and you've also got Bluetooth audio and Bluetooth editing, which is the first time on a guitar amplifier for that as well.
That I was just about to ask you, because I have read a bit about it, but I didn't realise it was Bluetooth editing. I was going to ask, basically, can I put it on one...
What does Bluetooth editing mean?
Well, I was going to say, can I put it on one side of the living room, have my guitar on the other side of the living room, never get off the sofa, and change my sounds and play guitar at the same... And, you know, play guitar. Do you know what? I think, obviously, it's quite an investment. Is it the most expensive guitar amp, or is getting up there?
Yeah, it's not... The price is not fixed yet, but it's probably in the UK going to be somewhere between 359 and 389, I think.
Okay,
cheaper if you're from GAK.
Yeah, right. Do you know what? Because obviously, you know, it is a bit more than the rest of the Katanas, which have been incredible for the money. But just the benefit of not having any wires, you could potentially put this in the corner of the room, and you could actually plug it in rather than use the battery. And then just have your guitar elsewhere in the room, sit on the sofa. Can you, while you're doing the Bluetooth editing, can you also send music via Bluetooth to the amp?
You can, yes.
So you could, if you wanted to just sit on the sofa, jam along to something without any cable whatsoever, without ever having to leave the sofa to change the settings on the amp. It sounds like it's kind of like the ultimate lazy man's amp. And more and more these days, I'm falling into that category. Like, at the moment...
It's getting too much like that movie Wall-E.
It is a little bit Wall-E. But, you know, in the living room at the moment, we've only moved into our house for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, something like that. I still haven't set up an amp, and I haven't set up my pedal board, because I just don't really want the cables everywhere.
The thing is, a lot of people were like, oh, I'm plugging my pedal board. And it's like... It's kind of not, if you want to plug in your pedal board and you want like a practice thing and you can take it to gigs, then we already do the Katana and they already work. This is like the ultimate. You literally just leave it in the corner or wherever you want and just leave your guitar on the other side of the room. You've got 12 hours worth of playtime on the transmitter. I think the battery life is really strong on, I can't remember what the official time is. It actually goes on for longer than the official time in terms of how long it will stay on standby. But you can charge the transmitter obviously straight into the amp, and it'll even charge off batteries. So if you take it out and about and you've just got batteries, you can still charge it on batteries. But you can actually charge it via micro USB as well. But you can literally then just leave your guitar on the other side of the room, go to sleep, and you can just pick it up whenever you want. You don't have to worry about turning the amp on or anything. Just literally pick up the guitar. I just think that's really handy. I think that's just a really cool idea.
Why does the guitar have to be on the other side of the room?
Well, no, it doesn't.
Is there some sort of...
No, what's this obsession with being far away from
your guitar? What happens if you get too close?
But you could, for example, like say you
never cross the street. Never get too close.
Yeah. You could, for example, put the Katana Air up on a bookshelf and then basically never touch it again.
Yeah, that's true.
Apart from when you want to charge things.
I just think it's hilarious that Boss have released a Bluetooth amp literally months after they launched their line of cables.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah.
Matt, have your fingers in all the pies.
You're doing yourself out of that sweet, sweet cable money.
You can still, if you want to, you can still plug a cable in.
Okay. All right, this is enough Boss plug-in. Now.
I'm into it. I know it's quite wildly different from the things that you've been doing.
It sounds different to... Well, it's the same Katana sounds, but it's been redesigned for stereo, so the sounds are much bigger and more expansive for a living room as well.
I mean, of all the things that are out there that pander to my extreme laziness, this is definitely top of the list. I'm considering one.
Maybe I'll send you one, Mark.
Sounds all right. Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
Literally every other brand send us stuff, Matt.
Yeah, just bribing me. I'll take that bribe.
Speaking of brands that send us free stuff.
This brand has never sent us anything free.
Oh, what are we talking about?
Moore. Moore have announced...
We've got loads of free stuff from Moore.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think we have.
That's all at Joe's house.
It all goes back.
Yeah, it's all at my house.
Oh, I see.
I get it sent direct.
These are pedals that we've never even seen, and Joe's just squirreling them away by the sound of things. Moore have announced some brand new preamp pedals, the Cali Duo, the Fried Main, and the Matchbox.
The Fried Main.
They are getting awfully close. They really are getting close
with the fried main.
Well, even the Cali Jewel, like, we all know what that is.
Yeah,
you know,
what is it?
It's a jewel wreck.
It's a jewel wreck. And the match box.
Yeah, it's.
They should have called it the match more.
Yeah.
It's not a fried main. It's a fried mine.
Okay.
No, mine would be M-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Oh.
The fried main. So these are quite clearly based on Jewel Wreck, Friedman, and a Matchless.
I'll have a number 12, please, mate. Fried main.
I'll have the fried main. it is actually number 12 in the Prem series as well. Fantastic. They're obviously just expanding this range. I think they're going to produce a preamp version of every amp on the market by the time they're done. Cool little things. You know, we talked about them quite a lot in Gear of the Year, and I think we've been impressed by them. Be interesting to see how these ones do. I suspect they'll carry on the legacy. But more importantly than that,
wait, I see what you've done.
Finally, more importantly, they've announced the pitch step and the audio file. The pitch step being their take on the whammy. Has anyone got the info up there to tell us about it? Matt, have you got some deets?
I saw a little bit about the pitch step. This looks like a really cool little pedal, actually. So you've got octave up, octave down. But I believe, if I remember rightly, I'm trying to bring up a picture of it. I think you can do both at the same time. Yeah, so it's polyphonic. And I think you can do up and down at the same time. So when you push it forward, it does both. I think this is an awesome alternative to a whammy.
This is basically a fantastic product. I mean, the whammies are fantastic, but what is the one thing that people universally dislike about them?
It's not big enough.
Yeah, they need to be bigger.
Yeah.
That they're so big, they don't fit on normal size pedal.
They don't use a normal power supply.
Yeah,
Okay, those were the things that always annoyed me about the 4, was that it didn't use a normal power supply and it wasn't big enough.
But this is the same size as the the Dunlop Mini Expression pedal.
Yeah.
Actually, Moore themselves did a little expression pedal, didn't they? That could be a wah, a volume, or an expression pedal. I can't remember what they called that. Wasn't them. It wasn't them, was it? That was Hoto, not Moore.
Moore did do the Soul Press.
Oh, did they?
Okay. But yeah, I thought this one was a super, super cool release. Because, yeah, like you said, Whammy's, you know, pretty chunky. But also, a lot of people like the Micropog, which is polyphonic, and this is polyphonic. But the fact that you can shift forward and have octave up and down, I think it's just, yeah, they've kind of gone, what's really popular? Well, people love the Micropog, so let's just do that in a micro pedal. I was like, yeah, I think it's great. On a normal 9-volt, perfect.
One last pedal from the Moore range, the audio file. Jay, tell us about it.
So it's a mini headphone amp for if you're using pedals but you don't have anything with a headphone out, or
it's a headphone amp for your pedal board.
It's exactly
what
it is, yeah. But it's one of the things that's really cool about it is it's actually got stereo in, which is something that I don't think anything else has ever done in this vein. I'm sure, you know, if you're using something like a Boss GT100, you've probably got stereo cab sim.
I can't think of another pedal board size, particularly micro pedal, headphone amplifier.
You get cab sims with a headphone out, like we've got the Torpedo cab or the Laclean that's got a headphone out, but nothing that like you could plug a DD500 into and then actually get like stereo delays.
So basically what I want to do here is I want to get one of these and then I want to put on like a ping pong delay with headphones on, and it's just going to go
podcasts are only mono. So it went.
Joe, you ready?
I mean, it'll still be a mono if it's
just close one ear at a time.
Okay, close one ear.
Yeah, at a time. Can you not do that?
No, I can't. It's weird.
I can't close one ear.
That's weird.
My propensity for ear closing is minimal, I have to admit. I struggle with that one.
This is Moore knocking it out of the park again. What a genius product. It's like the product that you need that you never realized that you need.
Yeah,
totally.
I think it's perfect for your desk. I just like, for me, like, oh, just like, I could literally Velcro it to my desk, and then when I can't plug into an amp, I can just take the lead out of my pedalboard into this, and then just
yeah,
plug it.
You're quite right, actually, Matt. In fact, you wouldn't even need to Velcro it. You can Velcro it under your desk, so no one would ever, if anyone ever came into your room, they'd not know that you're a complete nerd.
So you could, yeah, you could do that. You could, because we talked about in Gear of the Year, the micro Moore pedal setup, where you have the preamp pedal into the radar, into the baby bomb. But if you cannot, if you haven't got an amp to plug into, or if you don't have a cab to plug into, substitute the baby bomb
for
this.
Actually, the cab, actually, this has cab sim on
it. Well, it does, so you don't necessarily need it. But if you wanted a range of different cab sims, you could use the radar.
But they do a cab simulator as well, don't they?
That's the radar. Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah, okay.
So you've got the choice. You could get one of the preamps and this, and that would be fine. But if you want some more options,
more options,
you could get some of the preamps and the radar and the headphone amp and set yourself up with quite an impressive little tiny pedal board that you can plug headphones into.
I'm looking forward to when they release a pedal. I think it'd be fantastic if they released a one pedal size pedal board just for Moore pedals.
How can less be Moore? Moore is Moore.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. Let's do one last range of pedals. TC Electronic have announced what they're dubbing the Sonic Specialist pedals.
Okay, this actually ties perfectly into, you know, remember before we podcasted I said I'm going to tell you guys something on the podcast.
Okay,
let's talk about these pedals first, but this ties in wonderfully.
Okay, good. So let's talk about the Sonic Specialists. Four new pedals. Joe, do you want to give us the rundown of what's there?
No, I don't know anything about them.
Okay.
But so one of them is called the Drip.
So I can do this. There is the Drip, which is a spring reverb. There's the Fluorescence, which is a shimmer reverb.
Ooh, that's
There's
nice.
The Gorse, which is a tape echo. And there is the Vibraclone Rotary, which I don't know what sort of effect that is.
this sounds great. These are all great effects that people
so
need.
They've called them the Sonic Specialists, and that is a really, really fancy way of saying each of these pedals only does
one thing. Yeah.
which I think is really funny.
But like the shimmer is something that people spend, the shimmer effect on a reverb is something people spend hundreds of pounds on, like investing in reverbs for.
Yeah.
Unless you buy an Electro-Harmonix Canyon.
Well, true. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is obviously the problem here. But man, I would love to hear the Fluorescence and the Gauze as well. A little tape echo. That's great.
I think it's Gauss, actually.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Gauss. Okay.
Whatever. But I have been like consistently impressed with some of these pedals. So
with some of them. I've been consistently impressed with some of them.
but the ones they've got right, they've got really right.
Yeah.
Like the Chorus, and I think the Vibrato was great. I have to say I tried that do you remember I brought over that Nether, their OC2 thing? Yeah, that don't track.
Okay.
Like not even on guitar, let alone bass, so don't use that. But this is great. the tape echo looks fantastic.
Yeah,
the tape echo sounded really good. The Vibraclone sounded very, very good.
Wow, okay.
Very, very good.
And I'm so excited.
I just think all of these pedals are really cool. They're super cheap.
Yeah, these are probably going to be 50 quid, 59
Yeah, they'll be 49 quid.
I'm going to get them all.
And I just think it's a great range, and these took a lot of smack on the internet for people just saying, oh, they're just rehoused pedals and they're just a cash grab, blah 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 blah. But not only are they pushing forward with these, they're doing new effects that they've not done before.
Yeah,
you know, TC have never done a rotary. Have they? Oh, yeah, they did do a rotary, haven't they? They've never done a shimmer reverb.
They have.
Yeah, there's a shimmer on the Hall of Fame.
But what they're doing is breaking out those effects individually and allowing you to buy them for a very cheap price.
A fraction of the price,
it means you don't have to buy, like, a Hall of Fame to get the shim reverb.
I'm into it. I 100% will buy that Gauss.
Have you heard it yet?
No, I don't care. I want a tape echo.
He doesn't have a pedal that begins with the letter G.
Okay.
Yeah, is that what it is? Fine. It's missing in your alphabet.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm having that dimension, and I've got the vibrato, even though I've got a VB2 and I've got a TC shaker. But I'm using the cheap vibrato at the moment because it sounds great.
Good. Manite, you were going to say something.
I was just intrigued because you can actually buy the Moore pitch step right now. and you can click it on like a normal wah, but it's also the top is two pressure sensitive pads, and you can put it in sensor mode, and it literally, as soon as you touch your foot on it, it turns on. I was like, that's brilliant. But it's not spring loaded like the bass wah or something like that. It's literally those pads on top are pressure sensitive.
More cool. Just so kind of like the Igor.
We're going off topic and losing the segue.
What? Because you just want to talk about TC Electronics. Tell us about your story, because we are near the end of the podcast. Right, so you need to wrap this one up quickly.
Listeners, if you need a computer, if you're near a computer, you need to do this. If not, you need to remember this URL and go, Jay.
Yeah, I'm looking.
You need to type this URL in right now. So it's tcelectronic.com/Joe-Branton. Do that right now.
Brent, so it is Branton now.
Not Banton. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've just seen this. How is this a thing?
Do you know what I really like is the fact that Joe Branton just said, yeah, I'm using the really cheap kind of TC pedal right now, and then you're listed as using the Shake of Vibrato, a pedal you've yet to mention once.
TC Electronic
have always been important to any guitarist looking to push boundaries. I don't think I could do what I do without the versatility of tone print.
Why are you playing that,
and
Warwick? And
the doors is opened for my playing.
So not only is the picture of you utterly ridiculous, but in the picture you're playing a Warwick Buzzard.
It was a sparkle pink Warwick Buzzard, actually.
Okay,
this is my artist profile on the official TC website.
So this is the fact that you've got tone prints available on TC Electronic pedals, particularly the Shaker. Oh God, there's a whole paragraph. Why has someone wasted their time on you?
I think it's important to tell people that when TC first started working on this, they had did list you as Joe Banton. Definitely, people knew about Bo Banton before they knew about Joe Branton.
Yeah, the guy setting up the page got confused between Joe Branton and Bo Banton.
We all know that Banton is the brand. Joe Branton.
Oh, I've just seen the background is the Guitar Nerds
logo. Stretched awkwardly.
Absolutely
fantastic.
Wow, with that, do go and check that out. We should wrap this podcast up because we are well over an hour. We are going to talk over on our Patreon episode about the kind of Gear of the Year fallout. There's been some people's feedback in the Facebook group and our thoughts. It seems like such a long time ago now, and it seemed like it went on for so long. We need to just decompress and have a little kind of debriefing on what happened on Gear of the Year. We're also going to talk about the things that we're looking forward to seeing at NAMM, what we think might be there, what we're hoping is there. If you want to hear that, do go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you access to the regular episode ad free and early. $5 a month gets you all the bonus content, so the extra half an hour every week, plus mini series like Branton's Rant On. We might even do some stuff at NAMM, we haven't decided yet. There's also some exclusive interviews on there as well. There's also Matt's Japanese tour diary from his, what was it, Matt, 3 months in Japan?
87 days
in Japan. There's podcasts up there where he talks about what he was up to in Japan. You can get that at the $5 tier. At the $10 tier, you get your name read out on the regular episode. And we had a ton of new Patreon backers over Christmas.
This might be over one breath now.
Joe Branton has set himself the challenge of reading all the Patreon backers' names in one breath. So the more of you that sign up at the $10 level, the harder this becomes, and the closer Joe Branton gets to death. And that will be best for everyone. Joe Branton, if you would read out the Patreon backers, thusly. Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Da-na-na. Emmy James Baker, Christoph Rapster.
No. You need to read it in a vaguely normal voice, because we got new backers, the first time round when we got
Does
a whole bunch of new
people.
It still
has to be in one breath.
It still has to
what
be
in one
about? Breath.
What are you talking about? That was always the deal.
And you make it harder for yourself by doing the stupid voice.
How do you think Christoph Rapich's name is pronounced?
Exactly that.
Rapich.
Exactly that. Right.
Oh, Emery, why have you got three names? You're just making it hard for me.
Da-na-na. Da-na-na. Da-na-na.
Emery James Baker, Christoph Rapid, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Witzer, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Mike Moylan, Jake Gray, Christoph Lusset, Juan Carrier, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Lovett, Rob Grant, Derek Lynch, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Connors Ratcher, Steve Michael, Ray Thomas, Marcus, Brett Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Jack Godboy, Paul Corrigan, Matt Coyne, Will Kerr, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Will Grammett, Colin Anderson, you better believe it, I can keep going for as long as you want. There's no limits to the amount that I can say. I could have said another 10 names by now. Come on, Patreons, give me your names and then I'll read them out. I'll read them out twice, you goddamn fools.
You've gone so red. You've gone so red and there's a strange bulge next to your eye. That's very, very odd. God, you look so ill. If you want to join in the fun of the podcast,
twice, you goddamn fools.
If you want to join in the fun, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram @guitar nerds and go and watch some YouTube content, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Next week, the podcast schedule is going to be a bit odd because there's going to be a ton of NAMM stuff. The week after, there might not be a podcast because I think most of us will be on planes and stuff like that. And then after the week after that, I'm still not around. So hopefully Joe Branton's going to cobble something together.
Oh,
we will see you all at NAMM. Bye-bye.
Farewell. Cheers, gang.
Bye.